Amen.
There was quite a, you may call it a strange law at the time that we've read about here tonight, and it was this. If a person had accidentally killed another person, let's say they were working on a chariot and something happened and someone made a mistake and it fell on another man and crushed him, killed him. Or if someone had been out in the field and through some mistake of their own, they had killed another person in an accident. There was a law at that time that the next of kin was to avenge the innocent blood. You and I would think of that and say, well, we know that in human life, accidents do happen. And this would seem like a very severe situation where the person who is already in a terrible state of mind because of what has happened, they are pursued by the one who really is an avenger and carries what was known as the sword of justice in his hand. So the passage is indeed a picture of tragedy. There has been that accidental loss of life. The person who has been responsible for that is exposed to death by the nearest relative of the one who is dying. And it was for these people that God in his wisdom provided cities of refuge. And when we look at the cities of refuge, we see in them a tremendous type of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. For the city would provide great safety for the person who was really just like a fugitive now. You can picture them. They're filled with anxiety and despair. They don't have any peace. The clock is ticking, and every minute that passes by brings the one that was known as the manslayer further along his pathway to avenge the innocent blood. I'm sure those who were responsible for the accidental death of another, as they sought to make their way to the cities of refuge, to the cities that were appointed by God, the thought of the approach of that avenger would strike terror into the heart of the man who was fleeing along to that refuge. Now we read about these refuge cities in Joshua chapter 20, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses there. It says there in the first two verses of chapter 20, "And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses." We will look at that chapter a little bit later on. There is really what is a reiteration in that chapter of this fact, men and women, that that which was provided by God alone. These cities were not brought about through some kind of humanitarian scheme, or through the ingenuity of man, or even through those who would have a sympathetic heart and say, well, there has to be some way of protecting these people who did not take life intentionally. Well, these cities were provided for such a person. And you know, when you look at the verses there, we see just how important it was that they would flee. If you look there in verse 6 of the chapter, you will see that it says there, they are to flee thither. Look at verse 11, that the slayer may flee thither. Look at verse 11. Killeth any person on the words may flee thither. And on down through the chapter in verse 25 and 26 and 32, you have the word fled. All of these verses referring to the slayer fleeing. And men and women, that shows me something very serious. It shows me that the case of this person was an extremely urgent one. For the avenger of blood was greatly to be feared. There was to be no delay. Even if he was exhausted, there was to be no clinging to some hiding place along the route to the city. Not that very many days ago, I went out for a walk one morning, walked 3 or 4 miles, and then I came home and said to some of the boys, feeling energetic, said, well, time's leave Donard. And they came, and it was tough going up through the forest, it was very wet, and I think I paused every 50 yards until eventually I said, well, that'll do. There's too many clouds up there, we can't see anything anyway. And we come back down again. This would never do for the slayer. He could not afford to take any breaks. He could not afford any delay. There was to be no clinging to some hiding place along the way. But brethren and sisters, he had to flee. And if you're not saved tonight, I want you to think with me about the word flee. And listen as we look together at the passage. The manslayer we'll call, or sorry, the fugitive here, we will call him. He was to flee because there was a place of safety provided for him. If you read your Bible, you will see that these cities were placed in various parts of the land so that there would be a city of refuge, well, near to every quarter. And there would be a city of refuge that would be accessible to the inhabitants right throughout the land. Again in Joshua 20, I said we'd look at it again. It says in verse 7, and they appointed Kadesh in Galilee in the Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, and the mountain of Judah. And on the other side Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness, upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth and Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. Whatever part of the country this person lived in that caused the death of another person, there was a city that was relatively near to him. You see, God in his wisdom and his giving instructions considered the need of the individual. He still does. I want you to remember that tonight. And it's notable here that all of these cities were placed in a location where they would be easily seen. In fact, as the person who'd taken life accidentally, as he fled, there was to be a highway provided for that very occasion, for such a person. I'll read about it over there in Deuteronomy chapter 19. It says there in verse 3, you can read it yourself at home, thou shalt prepare thee a way, and divide the coasts of the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. So these cities were in a position where they were accessible. There was a highway, there was a special way that they had to go as they seek to make their way to that city. And indeed history says, reliable church history says, that that highway had to be kept clear of obstacles. And if there was a situation where, for instance, a bridge had fallen into disrepair, it had to be kept in good order. There had to be those indicators pointing in the right direction as the fearful person made their way toward the city. In other words, every conceivable aid was afforded to the manslayer in his flight for mercy. Dear friend tonight, sinner friend, those who are not saved, as you consider your own standing tonight, the word of God condemns you because you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a person that is not saved, you have every reason to be filled with anxiety and fear, and more than that, a situation of extreme urgency. And as you come and you listen to the gospel message, as the word of God is opened and we talk of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who himself said, I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now that happened at Calvary, but when Christ is preached and you're told you're a sinner and he's uplifted as the only hope for fallen man, then the opportunity's been given to you. And you're just like the man in our story here that had killed a person accidentally. You have access to what is provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one way, and it is the way of repentance. And every obstacle that could possibly be in your way tonight, we would want to sweep it away and remind you of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He declared himself to be the light of the world. Paul himself, whenever he was writing, used these cities of refuge as an illustration in speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope and my only hope. Over there in the book of Hebrews, I've mentioned Paul, we do believe him to be the writer to the Hebrews. Over there in Hebrews chapter 6, it says there in verse 18, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And all good commentators will agree that Paul here was referring to fleeing. He was referring to a refuge. He was referring to hope. He was referring, by way of illustration, to the cities of refuge whom these people would have been very familiar with. So as we consider the sinner tonight, every conceivable aid has been provided for him. But all around us, people tend to flee to other refuges. And I know that we have heard it time and time again, and we don't like to be repetitive, but one of the biggest refuges that we see is religion. Men cloak themselves in it and they walk differently sometimes, speak differently. They even behave differently. But brethren and sisters, if they do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, they're just like this man as he made his way along the road toward the city. If he stopped by the way, he was in serious trouble. And if you stop short of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, dear unconverted person, your case is already precarious. But if you stop for long enough, it'll become a hopeless one. I wonder, can you say tonight, I have fled to the refuge? Would you say to me, preacher, I'd love to flee, but I don't really know where to go? It was all right for you talking. You said it was, this man had a highway that he was to flee along. Well, we mentioned your highway. It is the way of repentance. But where is this refuge that we're talking about? Well, you'll see it over there in the book of Acts chapter 17. Book of Acts chapter 17. It says there in verse 27. It says in verse 26, and have made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. How many races are there on earth? There's one human race. All men are born sinners. There are plenty of other places in God's word that show us that. But if you look at verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Do you remember I said that the city of refuge was accessible? And it wasn't very far away from any person. Well, dear friend, tonight, if you want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and have the sin question dealt with in your life, the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says here, he's not very far from every one of us. Doesn't the Bible say, seek ye the Lord while he may be found? When may he be found? He may be found now. I found him when I sought him. Every Christian here found him when they sought him. And the gospel message points to one refuge. I wonder, are there some obstructions on the way? The obstruction of acceptance with people. The obstruction of ambition. The obstruction of your own ideas. What will these things do for you in eternity when you're spending it without the Lord? You need to flee tonight. Because remember, this man who'd taken life accidentally, he could perish when he was close to the city. Maybe you say, well, I've considered these things before and I've thought it over time and again, but I'm just not feeling that I could come to Christ tonight. Well, you need to come to Christ tonight. And you need to flee because a place of safety has been provided. I want you to notice secondly here, not only was this manslayer to flee because a place had been provided, but he was to flee because the place that he was to go to provided a lasting shelter. It provided a lasting shelter for him. If a man who's running along the highway as fast as his heels will take him, if he makes it through the city, then he's secure there. You can read that in the verses yourself. The avenger of blood cannot touch him there. He's a man who is free from the penalty of a broken law. Look at verse 24 and 25. Then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood. And the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. He shall abide in it until the death of the high priest. You see, if this man is truly innocent and it truly was an accident, then even though that which has happened has been unfortunate to say the least, the avenger of blood cannot harm him there. Very solemn day as he stands before the congregation. You could say that any evidence that the avenger thought he had could be brought out, but if it was an accident, then he didn't have any accident. He didn't have any evidence. In other words, he stands as a man that is uncondemned. And as we mentioned to you before we started to preach tonight, these cities were for those that we read details of in verse 15, for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them. You see, all who had this situation could find provision. Yes, there are three categories there. There are the locals, the visitors, and those that are just passing through. But provision has been made in the cities of refuge for everyone that was in need. Everyone that was in need. And men and women who have come to Christ, they may have come as a little boy or a little girl, or they may have come as an older person, they are so safe that they are as though they had never sinned. I don't listen to very many, in fact, very, very few messages that I listen to on CDs or whatever, anything else, tapes or anything else, but I saw a title and I listened to it and I was really disappointed. Not altogether surprised, but really disappointed because the man who was preaching, of course that's all I'm going to say about him, he was a saved man, but in what he said, he was dealing with the situation, if you're truly saved, can you then be really lost? He said you could. And in my opinion, that is more than just a point of view. That is a view of the person of Christ. Christ is God. Is he not able to keep us? Is he not able to save those who come to him eternally? Over there in John's Gospel in chapter 3, it says there in verse 17, John chapter 3, verse 17, it says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You read those verses very carefully, reference them with other ones in John 10 and so on, and I do not know how you could ever come to the conclusion that God can save you by his almighty power and then lost you just because you're a weak person like the rest of us. If you come to Jesus Christ tonight, you will come to a shelter, to a refuge that will last eternally. The Bible says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And all may come. You can come tonight. I don't need to know your background. There may be those things that
maybe only one or two other people know about. And as you've drifted through life, they've eaten away at you. Brought you many hours of unhappiness and feelings of guilt. And as you looked into yourself, you thought many a time, is there any real hope for me? Well, there's hope for you tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's not only hope for this date in July 2012, but there's hope for all eternity, because if you flee to Jesus Christ, then you will be safe there eternally. And that matters. That matters. You see, this man was to flee because there was a place of shelter provided. But he was to flee because if he got to the place of shelter, then he was safe there. Sometimes we sing the hymn, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. Maybe it's sang sometimes more often, occasions like funerals. But you know, every Christian could sing it every day. Safe in the arms of Jesus. I want to move on here and say that this man was to flee because the city of refuge, thirdly, it was a place of abundance. You see, if he were to get to the city, this city, one of these cities of refuge, was not only a place that protected him from the avenger of blood, but there was that within its confines that provided for his comfort and well-being. And that is brought to our attention as we looked in Joshua chapter 20 and looked at the different places where the cities of refuge were placed. Now, when you look at them all together, they point to the all-sufficiency of Christ and they point to the abundance that is found in salvation. Please don't think upon salvation as just a wee decision that you're going to make to get the preacher to be quiet, or that you are going to get because you want to solve your conscience just a little bit. If you come to Jesus Christ in repentance and embrace Him as Savior and Lord, you will find great abundance in Him. I want to mention these cities to you just briefly now as we consider this place a place of abundance. We'll just take a look at them all. It would not matter what city they went to. They all point to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Kadesh, that's the first one that's mentioned there in Joshua 20 and verse 7. Kadesh means holiness. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes to where you are, and He comes to you as you are, and He speaks to your heart as you are, and then He saves you as you come to Him, what has He done for you? He has saved you from sin to holiness. And yes, you're going to put your hand up and say, well, hold on, Mr. Salt, I'm far from perfect. Well, I know that because I'm in the same boat as you. But we're still saved to holiness. Remember the verses we just read a moment or two ago. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Of course, as we mentioned this morning, we're not to have an Epicurean attitude. I can do what I like. Doesn't matter how sinful it is. I'm under grace, not under the law. Well, the law of God is good. The word of God still has to be obeyed. And we have principles to live by. But when God does a work in your heart, you can truly say, with one of old, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. I spoke to a man one time, and he had been saved, and he just started to tell me about his life and how things had gone with him. And he said things really come to a head one time when I was walking home with a bottle of liquor along the country road, and they dropped it onto the ground. It broke, and the whiskey ran all over the place, and it's a little hollow in the road, and he said it'd run into it, some of it, and he says I got down on my knees and licked it out. He says it wasn't that occasion I took a long look at myself, and I took up my life and a look at my life and thought to myself, what way is this to live? He called upon the Lord for mercy, and the Lord saved him. Doesn't lick whiskey out of puddles now. Why? Because God saved him to holiness. That's what He'll do for you tonight. Look at the next city. It's called Shechem. There, the word Shechem means shoulder. And of course, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd, the one who in gospel meetings like this is always seeking for the lost sheep. Seeking for the one that is still outside the family and fold of God. And the shepherd, when he finds the lost sheep, he puts it on his shoulder, and on his shoulder it is safe there. And dear men and women, tonight, in your sin, as this city Shechem speaks to us of Christ bearing our sins, and it speaks of him bringing us to the fold, I wonder tonight, how much longer do you want to stay out in the mountains wild and bare? What have all these years done for you? As time after time you've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, some of your friends have been converted. People that you thought would never be saved, they're believers tonight. And you're still out wandering along and drifting along, crippled by a burden of sin. So this city Shechem, it points to Christ. Kadesh points to Christ. Then the next one is Kirjath Arba, or Hebron. The word means fellowship, or the thought is of a fusing together. In fact, the word for Hebron refers to a taking one side. You have a torn page, for instance. Take one side and take another side and bring the two of them together and stick them together. They are in unity. And that is the thought here as we think of Kirjath Arba or Hebron. It has been brought out from the cold, as it were, brought out of her sin and brought into the family and fold of God. The thought is also of the healing of a wound. What an awful sin wound there is between man and God. They don't deserve anything from him. And if you're saved any length of time tonight and you ever think about these things, and you're a praying person, very many times you're bound to think, why did the Lord ever look upon me? It was me that helped to nail him to the cross. But if you will turn to him tonight and flee to him, you can be brought into fellowship with God through him. The enmity that there is between you and God will be done away with once and for all. Does that not appeal to you tonight? As you consider all of the heartbreak and disappointment and disillusionment that the world brings to men in general, would you not consider the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, he's the only one that can heal the sin wound. You move to another city there. The fourth one is called Bezer. The thought here is of an impregnable fortification or strong city. Many years ago, when John Wesley was in his study, it is said that a little bird came flying in that was being pursued by a bird of prey. And it came right into his breast and wouldn't move. Absolutely terrifying. And it is told that it was this that prompted Wesley to write the hymn. We have some of the words here. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Make no mistake about it tonight at all. You will perish without Christ. You will perish forever in the place called hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And as generation after generation of preachers come along and preach the same message, you'll still be languishing there. You will perish without him, because he is the only strong city. Doesn't the Bible tell us that a man shall be a refuge? He is that refuge. You need to run to him tonight. Make your calling and election sure, and embrace him as Saviour and Lord. I move on quickly. There's another city here called Ramoth. And the word Ramoth means high places. Read the book of Ephesians. In that book, at least five times, we are told of the heavenly and high places that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a sinner, you're right down there. The Bible talks of the man who was the poor man who cried, and the Lord saved him and delivered him out of all his troubles. And of the one who was taken out of the pit of sin. Every sinner is in the pit of sin. But if men and women will turn to the Lord, you'll be in heavenly places and high places in Christ Jesus. I've said to the congregation here before that we are priests unto God. What a privilege it is to be brought into his family, to be set in high places and heavenly places in the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, and please do consider this, when that happens, it can never change. You'll be there for all eternity. I have one final city here, and it's called Golan. Golan means joy. If you come to Christ in repentance, then you will know joy. come along and give your allegiance to a Free Presbyterian Church. We'd be very glad to see you, but it'll bring you little joy if you don't have the Lord. Christ is the joy of his people. You see, the gospel message, men and women, is a message of hope, and it's a message of joy. Someone said, I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul relieved, and now I live in him. Have you found that joy tonight? Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? That was the third reason why the person who'd accidentally killed another needed to flee. He needed to flee because there was provision. He needed to flee because this provision was a lasting provision. He needed to flee because within this city he would find comfort and well-being. But I want you to notice something tonight. We've drawn your attention to these cities, but there's something that is very, very noticeable in this passage. You see, these cities of refuge were provided only for those who were innocent. If a person had intentionally killed a person, there was no shelter for them. Look at verses 16, 17, 18. We read verse 31. It says, moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer which is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. These cities were provided for the innocent. And the gospel of the grace of God tonight goes far beyond the type and far beyond the capability of any city. God's free grace provides full and free and instant salvation for the guilty. Not for the innocent, but for the guilty. And you need to get to him tonight, because you're guilty if you're not saved. So the city of refuge really was to the innocent manslayer what Christ is to the guiltiest sinner who will come. One of the boys, I don't know where they got it, but some of them had sent today or yesterday, they sent the Reverend Martin's wee book out of the maze on the study table. I don't know where we had it. We had it somewhere and they set it down. And I looked at it as I went to lift and I just smiled. Most of you know I know him quite well. And I thought, boy, some change for him. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon received. Come to Christ tonight. Be delivered from present condemnation and from eternal death. Tell me tonight, have you fled? And if you haven't, will you flee? I trust you consider fleeing to Christ tonight. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.